Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to enter into the world of the paranormal with your hosts, Sherry Peng and Jason O'Fear. Explore with us the world of ghosts, UFOs, demons, and Bigfoot. You can also call into the show at 215-383-3999 and join the discussion.
Hello, everyone out there in internet land. I'm Jason O'Fear here with Sherry Peng for another episode of Paranormal Horizons. We got a great show planned this evening. Sherry, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you, Jason?
Not doing too bad. Hey, I watched, did you hear about the movie The Conjuring 2, how people believed it was haunted or paranormal activity after watching the movie?
Oh, I would like to know more about it. Did you watch it?
Well, I was kind of putting it off because I was kind of getting paranoid watching it, and because there are all these stories out there, people were like watching it, going back to their hotel room, and they would take a shower, and there would be like the imprint of an upside down cross on their mirror. So, watching the movie and all these paranormal happenings. So I kind of been putting it off, and I have Amazon Prime, and it was on there to rent, and there's nothing else I really wanted to see that I could rent. So I was like, oh, I'll watch it. I think it was set points, but I have yet to experience any paranormal activity from watching the movie, but it's only been hours.
Oh, that's really good. Yay! You don't want the devil knocking at your door.
No.
Knock on wood, right?
Nope.
Yeah,
but,
definitely.
Speaking of dark forces, you lined up tonight, and I understand we're going to be talking a little bit on the darker side of things.
Yes, we're going to introduce, we're waiting for him to call in.
He's called in.
Oh, yay, good. We're going to introduce Paul Coffey. He's a returning guest. He has one of the top-notch paranormal teams in the United States. This guy is the real deal. I've seen some actual footage and photographs of his work. And as a matter of fact, he's actually have studied some paranormal activity from photos that I've sent him. And this guy, he knows his stuff. So I'm really excited to have him return and to have him back. And he is going to be on a very famous paranormal TV show, but we can't leak out the details yet. But we want to be able to kind of drop the seed in to kind of wait and see what's going to happen. So anyway, he's finished filming, and we're going to have him talking about his experience with the devil.
Ooh. All right.
Yeah,
well, let's bring him on. And hey, Paul, how's it going? Welcome back.
Hi, Jason. Good to be here, and thank you again for having me back on the show.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, Sherry.
Pretty late at night for you, isn't it?
10 o'clock here.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
Good, good. So, being it's Halloween, we want to kind of keep it a little bit spooky, and, you know, it's something that we can educate people and share your experiences with. Something that is not normally would like to talk about, but anyway, we're all protected, and everything is of God's white light, but we want to talk about your experiences and how it came about with your confrontation with the devil and his henchmen. You're on the floor,
okay.
Paul.
Okay. Well, it did happen. It happened a couple of years ago. And it's kind of a, you know, part of my life story, that goes back to when I, you know, I'm a firm believer of God and always have been, I've had no reason not ever to doubt there was a God. And, you know, I send my love and prayers to him all the time throughout my life, you know, whether I went to church or not, you know, and confirmed Catholic, confirmed by a cardinal in the Catholic faith. But at any rate, you know, when I retired back in 2010, I decided to, you know, I had plenty of time to spend, and I wanted to visit ghost hunting. And so I prayed to God that hopefully he would allow me to be a good ghost hunter and capture a lot of good evidence. And little did I know that further down the road from that, my prayers may have been answered. And what happened is I was in my home one day and a spirit visited me, and it was telling me that it was my mother. And, you know, the spirit told me some very pertinent information about me and about my family, my sons and everything else, and told me that one of my sons was in trouble. And I found out later after speaking with the spirit that, in fact, one of them was. And, however, this spirit that was speaking to me was saying it was my mother, who is deceased and in heaven, I guess, and I'm hoping. And so I looked into my son, and sure enough, he got busted for a DWI, and I helped him out with that. And, you know, about a couple weeks later, came back home, and I was in the house again by myself, and she revisited me the same way and introduced herself as my mother. And the second trip, she came to tell me she wanted me to send spirits into the light. And as a ghost hunter, just learning, you know, the things, you know, I knew a lot of the background of ghost hunters. You know, you'd see it on TV, some of them can cross spirits. So I was familiar with it. And then I said, well, you know, I asked the spirit, I said, well, who authorizes me to do this? You know, and I wanted an answer. And my mother's spirit said, moment, levitate. And she went away for a half an hour and then came back and reintroduced herself again, just as she had. And the next sentence out of her mouth was, Jesus says it's okay. I said, okay, well, I'll look into it. And I did, and I took some courses, psychic development courses, and learned how to cross spirits into the light by somebody that really knew how to do it. And I took that information and lesson and started to apply it, and I crossed many, many, many spirits into the light. I am a sensitive, and I can feel spirit energy. It's just like I've always felt energy throughout my whole life. When I was a little child, I felt this energy of people. And so I guess I didn't know what I was, but I knew I was different from anybody else. And more or less an empath. And however, today I call myself a clairsentient medium, whereas now I've become a medium. But I feel spirit energy. So whenever I go ghost hunting, I can feel spirits and I can, you know, locate them pretty quickly by using my hands and whatever to feel the energy around me. And but for a couple of years, I just, you know, I'm doing nothing, I'm tired. And so I did the good thing, serving God, I thought, and sending spirits to the light. And so one day I was visited and by God himself. And I felt this energy radiate down into my house. And again, I was alone. And I felt a hand on my head, and he said to me, my son, I have a lot of gratitude. I'm grateful for you serving me and sending spirits to the light. And it was just a very short dialogue, but he said, you're doing good, you know what good is. You've seen good. You see me. And this is, you know, of course,
mm-hmm.
the good. But in serving me, you also must see the bad. You must see the dark side.
And what happened?
I was told that I was going to be visited by the devil in order for me to see the bad. I had to be visited by the devil. And so, you know, I'm like, am I envisioning this? You know, pinch me, kick me. Is this really happening? You know, but, you know, about 2 months later, you know, I just took it as information and, you know, whether it happened or not, I just had to take it, you know, because the spirit world is vague at times and pranks can be pulled on you, you know, at the drop of a hat, really. And so it looked real and, you know, I was amazed and stunned and everything else by when it happened. But about 2 months later, you know, I wasn't thinking of this or anything else. But of course, once again, I'm sitting in my house and about 15 feet away from me in the corner of the living room, two black figures show up. They, you know, spontaneously appear.
And they're not shadow men or anything like that.
They're not shadow men. They are not shadow men. I know what shadow men are. These were, you could not see through them. So they were not ghosts. They were pitch black, both of them. There were two figures, one shorter than the other, and on the right side was the devil. It certainly looked like him, and to the left of him was his bodyguard, henchman. And the devil started to talk to me, and he introduced himself. He says, "I am the Prince of Darkness." And the henchman just stood there and didn't make a move. And I said, "Okay." And, you know, I'm in awe, shock. But I'm frozen in my chair, and I cannot, you know, I'm in a, you know, sofa. And I'm just staring at it. And I had to take my eyes off of it, and I more or less focused my eyes onto the floor in front of me. And he talked to me, and I would lift my head up to look at him, on, you know. And he said, "I want you to work for me. What is it that you want? Do you want money? Do you want to be big in business? Do you want women? What is it do you want? You can have anything you want, but you have to serve me." And I said, "I'm sorry, I cannot serve you. I serve God, and I believe in God, and I will not serve you. And even if you kill me here right now, I am serving God, and that is all. That's it. And that's what I do." And he came sort of nervously, almost lunging at me, didn't move, but he sort of, made a motion to lunge at me, but stated, "Are you disrespecting me?" And, you know, I said, "No, I am not. But I serve God only, and that's the only person, or, you know, that I am going to serve. And I will not serve you." And he said, "You will serve me. My soldiers are going to come to you, and you will be serving me, whether you like it or not, and they will force you to serve me." And so, you know, I'm like, "I will not serve you. I'm serving God, and if you kill me now, at least I'll die serving God, and that's that." And, you know, eventually, within moments, he went away. And I was shaken, and I was like, "Really? Did I just see that?" And but the thing is, at that time, shortly thereafter, you know, I had, for some reason in my mind, you know, I'm a paranormal investigator, and I've captured a lot of ghosts on camera, you know, had very much success in doing that. And you know, I often said to myself, I've seen all different types of spirits, but I've never seen a demon. I can't really say that I have. And so I got it in my, you know, mind that maybe I should look into it, you know. And so I joined a organization. I think there, you know, I don't want to say anything about them. And I'll explain that. But it was a organization that works with the Catholic Church, and they do exorcisms in conjunction with the Catholic Church, which helps them out and also expedites the exorcism process. So I actually became an exorcism investigator. And, you know, it was about a month or so after I joined that organization that they sent me a dispatch to go out to a client to do a pre-exorcism investigation, which I had to film the whole interview so that they can review it, you know, to see if there's any psychiatric issues or, you know, how the person's acting and so forth. And also ask about 20 questions to them as well and get the responses from the questions. And so I did go out on that interview, and I had another person with me, and supposedly they had experience with this. However, I had just met this person and known the person for 2 days, and I really didn't know their background at all. Although, you know, myself, I'm a paranormal investigator, and I have done, you know, investigations, you know, all different types, homes, businesses, you know, anywhere. And this was altogether a different animal. You know, I went into the house and was introduced to the husband and wife, and sure enough, the wife, right away, you could tell she was different, and she was telling us to leave. You had to leave. You can't come in. You cannot have your video cameras running. You have to leave. And all she said the whole time we were in her house, every 3 or 4 minutes, was you have to leave. Your time is up. You have to go. You have to stop the cameras. You can't film this, you know. And so it became obvious right quickly that, yes, indeed, there is something definitely different going on here. And so we had the couple, the man and woman, sitting in the front living room, and their son was there, their eldest son, in his mid-20s. And I did a reading on her, and I found out she had a spirit attachment, and it was her mother. And so I thought that I would, you know, say a prayer, call down the archangels, and clear the spirit off of her. And I did the prayer, and the archangels came down, and they took the spirit off of her. But in the meanwhile, we pissed off the demon that was in the house. And the demon started to attack her son, who was in right, he was by my side. I was sitting down, he was standing up. And all of a sudden, he starts moving his hands, dancing around the living room, screaming, "What is this energy attacking me? What is this? What is, you know?" And the kid didn't have a clue what was going on. You know, he knew, you know, they didn't know there was a demon in the house. They suspected something, but they didn't know formally if it was. And this gentleman was walking around the living room, you know, frantically waving his hands, and, you know, and eventually the attack stopped. And right then and there, I knew that, in fact, we had something here, and it was a demon, and it was dangerous. And what happened, we filmed, and we asked the questions as they requested, and we both knew, you know, both of us that went to investigate, we both knew that definitely there was a demon in the house. But we had to walk through the house as well to also photograph and video that. And we got into her bedroom, and I'm leaning up against the bed, the footboard of the bed, just trying to brace myself. And my companion was with me by my side and on my right side. And I noticed on my left side an energy, very strong energy. It was like very tingly kind of, and it went from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And it was like nudging me, like, you know, threatening me. And I'm like, oh shit, here we go. There it is. I got this demon energy right next to me. And lo and behold, there was only one demon in the house. And in the end, after I figured we had enough of the evidence we needed, we left. And lo and behold, it attached itself to me. And we left, and, you know, I knew it was attached to me. It actually went into me.
How can you tell by that? What was the feeling, Paul?
Okay. The feeling of it is that my root chakra is down in the groin area, and the way the demon entered me was through my root chakra. And it went up in there, and the way you can really tell you have one in you is that it's kind of demeaning as well, that you can actually feel its tail hanging out of you.
Ooh.
Okay? It's poking out of you. The whole demon is big enough that, you know, part of its tail would hang out, at least for me. And I knew this happened, and fortunately for me, I have a friend who's a deliverance minister. I called him up, and he was there, you know, the following day. And he shook it out of me, supposedly, and, you know. But what happened, you know, he did get it out of me, and it, you know, probably went outside of my house. But as soon as they all left, it came back, and it went back into me. So, you know, what I did was, I then prayed to God to remove the demon. And lo and behold, a hand went right into my chest, which was the oddest sensation I ever felt. A hand went into my chest, went down, grabbed the demon, and lifted it off my body. And it was gone. And it was taken away. And once that happened, I then realized that I could probably do that again. You know, that I could pray to God and have the demon removed. And so I did other investigations on my own. I did one down in Florida, I believe it is, or Alabama, somewhere on the Alabama-Florida line. And we had a house that was very haunted. And one of the people, you know, I did a reading on the house. And there was five spirits that were in the house. But there were many around the house outside. A lot of Indian spirits and all kinds of other spirits from past. But there were five in the house, and they were former residents that died or are related to those people. and or original or other owners of the property. So, but one of the ladies in the house had a demon on her, and so we went in there and I started clearing the house, you know, with a paranormal team, I immediately figured what I would do first is clear the house, send the spirits, the earthbound spirits, into God's light. And I did that. And then if there were any spirit attachments, they would go as well. And some of them did have spirit attachments, the family that was living in the house. And then I walked up to a lady with the demon attached to her, and I said, "And you have a demon attached to you, don't you?" And the woman, you know, wouldn't admit it, but she did. And her other woman that lived in the house with her admitted to me that, yeah, there's something really bad going on here in this house and has for a while. And but the woman would not admit it, you know. And so I went and did a clearing of that demon with everybody, or my paranormal team in the room. I had the lady lay down on the bed, and I did my prayers, and the demon came off of her and went into me. And again, it went into my root chakra, and the tail was hanging out of me and everything. But when I left the house was clean, clear of all spirits, and the demon as well went with me. And it was after I left the house that I cleared that demon as well through prayers. And so, you know, and it's gone on from there. You know, I clear demons and also extraterrestrial spirits, which are a little tougher than earthbound spirits. I continuously, go ahead.
Paul, what can you do so that you don't attract any type of demons and things? What do you suggest for our listeners to not bring that in or attract them, invite them into your aura or living space?
The only thing you can do is, and you should do this, even ghost hunting, is you should pray to God and ask for his brilliant white light protection to be placed on your body from your toes to the top of your head and beyond. And the reason why you do that is because you do have an aura. And when you ghost hunt, you know, people don't see the spirits, you know, the orbs. Spirits are flying around you all the time in the orb shape, okay? And when they manifest, they open up that orb, and it goes from the floor up to the top of their head, and they show themselves as a ghost, okay? But when they're flying around you, they come and grab a little bit of your aura. And if you ever have gone ghost hunting, you know, it's a phenomenal. I noticed it, and I never put God's light around me when I first started doing ghost hunting. And I did about 100 investigations my first year, okay? And I would feel about 20% more tired or spent after going to a ghost hunt. And I'm like, I didn't even exert myself, and I feel like, you know, I have to recover here. You know, it's a little more than, you know, I'm expending some energy. But what, in fact, is happening is the spirits take your energy from you. And if you're unprotected, if you don't put God's light around you, God's light will buffer them. And, you know, they will not be able to steal. They'll just bounce off of you. It's a true thing. I've been protecting myself now for years now. And this is the one way that I protect myself, and I have to do it maybe 4 or 5 times a day, you know. And I do it when I get up in the morning and when I go to bed and a few times in between, because I do deal with demons, extraterrestrial spirits, and also, earthbound spirits. So I do that to protect myself, and therefore my energy is not stolen by them. And so that's the only thing I know. And, I've kind of looked into this pretty extensively, but the only thing that works for me is that you ask God for his, brilliant white light protection and put it around you.
That makes sense.
Yep.
I got a question for you, Paul.
Go ahead.
Did this demon that attached to you, did you ever get a name of the name of the demon?
No. I have had so much exposure to this that my rule of thumb is, well, first off, Jason, you shouldn't talk to them. Well, that's what I'm told. Do not talk to them. Get rid of them. You don't want these things kicking around. I mean, when they were in me and I couldn't shake them loose, yes, I did talk to them, and they did give me names. I don't have them written down here that I could give you the names they gave me, but they will give you a name, all right? But me, I immediately work on getting rid of them within minutes. I don't want them sticking around. And fortunately, I can remove, I remove them, and through prayer and to God. And that's how it's done. But even with earthbound spirits, I used to talk to them, okay? And I do when I go ghost hunting. It's an advantage. I am a medium. I see them, in my mind's eye. I can see spirits, and I talk to them. And when I first started clearing spirits, crossing them into God's light, I did do some investigative work that I would speak to them, ask them their names, where they were from, and, what did they do, where did they live, when did they die, and all of this. But spirits want to befriend you. I think it's cool you can talk to them, but guess what? They're going to take your energy away from you. They have the upper hand. And I got wary of that, and I just said, from here on out, all spirits, I'm not going to talk to them. I will if I'm doing a reading or if somebody asks me how many spirits in the room, what do they look like. I will open my ability to look for them, and then I give an explanation, and maybe I'll talk to them then. But typically, I just clear them all, and that's what I do. You can understand that I just don't want them around me, especially the demons, which are hugely harmful and dangerous. And extraterrestrial. Demons are very dangerous.
Oh, okay.
Very dangerous. They will literally tear at your aura, they want to get into you to possess you. And when they're in your body, it's an actual possession. They're in there and they can do damage to you. And you come to realize that if you don't do what they want, they will act in a negative way. They could, threatening way, in such a way that they would tell you they'll kill you if you don't, sort of hostage. So, with me, I don't mess around. I keep myself protected. And, but also my root chakra has been sealed. And there was a time that they were able to get into my root chakra. That doesn't happen anymore. And that's another story that involves angels, which, I didn't believe it myself when angels started to come down to me. But there was a time I was in trouble because spirits were getting into my body as well, spirit counts, and I would have as many as 20 in me, 20 spirits in my body. And it was a big problem, and I went to many healers and spent about $1,000 trying to find a healer that could help me. And a lot of them couldn't do it. They tried different things, but there was one that did. And he gave me a mantra prayer to the archangels, and I was able to, when I prayed that prayer, it would, the archangels would come down, or their helpers, and they would remove about 5 spirits at a crack. But then it would, they would go away, and then I'd have to pray again, so it seemed, and then they would come back down and do it again. So eventually I would get them all out of me. But as the day went on, they would just head back into me. It became a big problem when I was going to my health provider, and because having 20 or 18 spirits in you, my blood pressure was rising. And my doctor, actually, yeah, I went to, for a physical. My doctor was trying to have a physical, and he was sitting in front of me, and he says, your blood pressure is like 190 over, you know, some high, 90-something. What the hell are you doing? You know, the last time you were in here, it was 137 over 68. You know, pretty good. It's controlled. I couldn't tell the doctor, well, right now I got spirits in my body, you know. And they're in an orb shape. You know, they wouldn't believe me, and so there was no sense in me telling them. But it became obvious I had a problem, and I prayed to God. And I told God that I need help. I never asked for help in the past. And, you know, I just did my I was just serving God and sending spirits to the light. And so one day an angel came down. It was a very tall one, a big angel, and stood next to me, and I recognized it, and he said, you know, God is willing to give you 2 months to decide if you, you know, for a vacation from this, but also time for you to answer his question. And his question is, would you want to continue doing this? And, you know, I said, okay, I'll take the 2 months. And it was in November of 2014. And back in January, the middle of January 2015, to the day, the very same angel came back and was standing in front of me again. And he said, I'm here to get your answer. And I said, oh, okay. He said, have you made up your mind? Do you wish to continue or do you wish to stop? And I said, well, can I have another day to figure this out? He said, no, unfortunately, I need the answer today. And I said, okay, can you give me 10 minutes? And he said, oh, yeah, sure. He said, all the time you need. And I sat there and, you know, mulled it over, and I had thought about it anyway. I mean, you know, and so I already had the answer. I just had to give it to him. And I came out and said, well, I want to serve God, and I want to continue regardless. You know, if it kills me, it kills me. I'm going to be serving God, and I'll die for God if I have to, and because I do believe in him. And he said, okay, that, thank you very much, and left. And it was about 2 weeks later, after that, it was announced to me, to my guides, that I would be visited by some more angels. And they said, this time, they're going to inspect your body. And they're going to want you to lay down in the bed when you're getting ready to go to sleep. And they just want you to go to sleep if you can And the day came that they showed up, and I went and laid in bed, and there was five of them. And what I was told is two of them were doctor angels, two of them were nurse angels, and the fifth one was a death angel. And so they surrounded the side of the bed I was on, and as I laid down in bed, I eventually felt hands on my body. From my feet to the top of my head, I felt them moving their hands around, and it dawned on me, I was like, are these really angels, you know? And, I mean, I could see them to a certain extent. I couldn't see them totally, and I said, well, what if they're, you know, some extraterrestrials taking a chip in me or something, or taking my organs out or something, you know? I kind of got scared about it. But they just said, you know, don't worry, we're not going to be doing anything invasive here. We're just looking you over and so forth. And so eventually they went away, and I went to sleep and woke up the next day. I was okay, you know. And so about another week after that, I was told the same angel team is going to come down again, and this time they're going to do some work on you. They're going to fix your, you know, chakra and seal you. And I said, oh, well, okay, well, that'd be great, you know, if something like that could happen. You know, I'm trying to believe this as it's being told to me. And so they told me the same thing. You got to go to bed, lay down, and try to go to sleep, and don't worry about us. And the same team was there, five angels. And I felt the hands on me again. And this time, in my mind, I saw an outline of a man being drifting out of my body. The outline, like your aura surrounding a person, a man that you couldn't make out its face,
uh-huh.
But you could see its physique. It was going from my head down to my feet. And I didn't know what that was, and I didn't ask what that was. But it was after that that I felt that the root chakra was patched. And however, spirits and demons could still rip that open and get into me. However, from that point on, actual healing angels showed up, and they would fix the patch over and over again. However, after time and not being attacked so much, the angels were able to build up the area and, you know, fix that area, and then it was very hard for them to damage it again. And eventually, with the angels coming down, you know, every day or so, if I got attacked, they would come down and they would straighten out my aura and also fix that patch. They'd put their hand down on my root chakra area and just hold it there. You'd feel the energy around their hand, you know, touching me. This actually happened, and my root chakra was sealed, and now demons cannot get into me and spirits cannot get into me. This is what happened. To me, it was a minor miracle. It was just a miracle to me that this happened, because I did experience this problem, you know, with demons getting into me and spirits getting into me, and now today it doesn't happen. So, you know, and how do you go telling people about this, you know? But this actually did happen to me, and I'm totally grateful, you know. And, you know, to me, there absolutely is a God, and he does hear us when we pray to him. And, you know, and I have much more experiences in actually seeing God and also Mary and Jesus also. It's
absolutely
amazing.
You mentioned alien spirits a couple times.
Yes.
What exactly is that? Are these spirits from aliens that were embodied in a physical form? And why would they care to interact in a spiritual form with humans?
Okay. They're interdimensional beings. And they are, as we know them, extraterrestrial spirits. When you're a dimensional traveler, you can go and not be seen. And this is basically how, you know, they are. You know, they're from another dimension. Our eyes cannot see these because our eyes filter out the wavelengths that reflect from them that our eyes would recognize, you know, in our receptors. So we don't see them, just as we don't see, you know, for the most part, most people don't see earthbound spirits as well. However, when you illuminate them with certain lights, you can capture them on camera. And that's what I do. The thing is, these are interdimensional spirits, and typically you don't see them. There was a time that I was interested in learning more about extraterrestrial spirits, and I was told that I could summon one, and it would show me itself. And lo and behold, it did. And I saw it, and I talked with him, and his name was Robert. And he came to me, and he stood in front of me, and he showed me himself. And, I couldn't believe what I saw. It was a shorter being, and not heavy set, just, you know, but about 4 foot, a little higher. And he had big round, not your typical, you know, what you see as far as an alien picture, you know, that you've seen maybe on Facebook or whatever, or on TV, you know, the typical gray extraterrestrial being. But this had flesh tone skin, but his eyes were round, but bigger than human eyes. They were maybe an inch and a half in diameter, and they were brown. They were, well, dark, very dark, maybe brown, and watery looking, very shiny eyes. And he had a curly, you know, his hair, he did have hair on his head, and, you know, it was very curly. It just looked unrealistic, you know. But he showed me himself, and then, you know, he told me if I ever needed him, I could just summon him, you know. And, you know, if I ever wanted to see UFOs in the sky, that's what I was summoning this extraterrestrial spirit for.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that I did want to see, you know, we were studying UFOs and we wanted to see how we could summon some, you know, UFOs to come fly around us, you know. And so I was told I could summon the spirit, and lo and behold, he showed up. And he showed himself to me, and I saw it. And in my mind's eye, that is, not physically in front of me, but I saw it, and I said, oh, Jesus, that's an ugly-looking thing. And it then stepped, you know, turned off that vision and maybe stepped to the side or something, and I was speaking to my guy, and I said, Is that the extraterrestrial guy? And they said, yes, that's Robert. You just saw him. And then Robert came back and showed himself again. He said, yes, you saw me. This is what I look like. I am an extraterrestrial. And therefore, that was more or less confirmed because he showed a second time. And I was pretty blown away by it, but in fact, I had seen one, and, you know, and that he told me if I ever wanted him to come again, just, you know, or if I wanted to see UFOs, just get a hold of him in advance, and he could probably set that up. I'm like, pretty cool, you know.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so, but that was, you know, and as far as the other ones, they don't show themselves, but they are of that size and pretty much, and maybe some are bigger, I don't know. But they do approach me, and they can be, they're less harmful, a little less harmful than demons, but they still are a problem. And they can cause havoc, and you can speak to them clearly. They'll, you know, they speak just like another human being, and they're here on Earth. They interact, here on Earth, humans, and but you know, you wouldn't know they were extraterrestrials. They have human form, and that's basically all I know of it. But I do clear them as well. However, demons are cleared differently. They're actually taken away. They don't go into God's light. They're taken to a special place where they will never harm anybody again, wherever that is. But
Paul, are there different kinds of demons, or are demons a demon?
There are different demons.
Mm-hmm.
Fallen angels is a demon that have sided with the devil. Deity demon is what it's called, and it's a larger demon, very powerful, and they're also a lot harder to remove. And they're much more dangerous. They are very powerful. And, you know, with going back to demons, the way I see them, I typically see them. I have seen them with my own eyes or my mind's eye or both. They're small. Most of them are small. They're the size of a dog. They look like a gargoyle. They have a bat-like face with a long snout, and they have pointed ears, and they have like a toad body and a tail that, you know, maybe, a couple of feet long. And they're kind of chubby, and they have claws on all four.
Is that true that their eyes are red?
The eyes are red. Yes, they are. And they're pretty ugly. They look very dirty. And they're very demeaning. And one night, I was in my bed, and a demon approached me. And I had put God's light around me, and it couldn't get into me. This was back just around the time that I got healed, and they could no longer get into me.
Mm-hmm.
And the demon came to the head of the bed where I was laying, and I opened my eyes, and it opened its mouth and went like that, a noise like that. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, okay, what do you want, you know? And so then I kind of tried to go back to sleep. I knew there was a demon there. And it came again the second time and made the same noise, you know. And however, I got up and then dealt with that. And then after that, I went back to bed. But I have seen them, the very first one that went into me, I saw that one as well. What happened was that, you know, as I said, the deliverance minister shook it out of me, and how I knew it was back is that, I was going to bed, and I shut my living room lights off, but I forgot something in the living room. I was walked into the bedroom, and I said, oh, shoot, I forgot something, and I had to go back into the living room. And when I did, I saw the demon right by my couch. And it then went from solid form to not being able to see it, but I saw the whole thing. Saw its head, body, and tail. And there was no denying it. I saw it. You know, I'm like, oh, shit, it's here, it's back. And, you know, so I have seen these things, and I do see them when that sometimes, a lot of times when they approach me, and how they look at that time is like a black puff of energy. And you can see through it. It looks like a puppy dog floating, you know, like 2 feet off the ground, coming headed right for me. They come right to me, just like a puppy dog does. And
so,
I
have a question for you, Paul. Can a person, like, if they're, like, I'm just saying, as an example, if you're out, like, in the grocery store or out on the road or, you know, just minding your own business, can somebody pick up a demon?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. They're around. They're around. And
are there places to avoid to getting them?
No.
You know?
No. If they want to follow you home, there's no stopping them. If they want to, you know, I had a client I worked on this past weekend. She's a sensitive, and she her husband went on a trip. They went to Arkansas. They went to some famous hotel. And she knows when earthbound spirits are around. She knows, you know, she's kind of like a medium. And so she knows she has spirits in her house. She didn't, you know, they don't bother her. So she didn't bother them. But when she went to this hotel in Arkansas on a trip, she felt, she was walking down the hallway, and she felt this dark energy. You know, she didn't know what a demon was, you know, and she felt this very oppressing energy, you know, stillness in the air, very heavy air. And she explained it to me, and I said, okay. So, you know, I did a reading on her, and sure enough, she had one, and I did a prayer, and we got it off of her and taken away. She picked it up at that hotel. So, you know, they're around, and, you know, they may prey more on sensitive people that are more alert to the spirit world and demonic, you know, and everything. So, because, you know, you'll recognize them sooner than somebody that doesn't. But it's, you know, the other client that I had worked on, the first one, they felt it was one of their relatives that visited, and it jumped off of them and went on to this lady. That's what they had explained to me. And so, because I had asked them the questions, you know, how do you, you know, you do have a demon here, you know, and how do you think it may have come? And they explained to me that maybe it was, they thought that it was a family member, that, you know, a cousin or something that came to visit. And it was after that visit that this woman then had this demon attachment. So
are they more the people that go around negative energy or negative people? So if you're going around people, whether they're family or friends, and they're just, you know, full of negativity and, are those kind of people are more prone to pick up those kind of things?
Yes, absolutely. I deal with a lot of clients that they have negative people around them. And you don't know people, you don't know people and who they hang around with, and the elements that they hang around with, or even your next door neighbor. I have a client, not going to mention any names here, but the next door house, the lady was a prostitute, and she would get her drugs by, you know, doing sexual favors, And the clients that you brought in, you know, are of the dark nature, you know, negative energies, you know, and they would bring in spirits and, you know, and these spirits would eventually go to her house next door, and also demons as well, and raise havoc, you know, in their house. They would notice there is something going on here. We, you know, our TV is flickering for no reason. Our lights are flashing on and off and on, you know, and the ceiling fan is turning and there's no power to it. You know, we know something's going on here, and, you know, I do a reading and find out, yes, they do have a demon there and so forth. And, you know, so it's happenstance, really. It can happen to anybody. And, you know, I haven't really, I can only explain my views and experiences of it. And, however, a demon can jump on anybody at any time. And, but being around negative people, they seem to attract these entities, you know, especially if they're drug users or, you know, frequent bars and also, you know, do wrong deeds and, you know, like prostitution and, you know, whatever else, you can figure that out. But negative people, you know, attract these. And some of the people I've seen, you know, they live very negatively, you know, clutter in their homes, dirty, you know, maybe they're poor, they don't have any money to make their lives better, you know, maybe they're sickly and keep their homes dirty and dark. And, you know, I've seen it, you know, so many times doing investigations and whatnot. These kind of people do attract spirits and or, you know, entities. And especially, like I say, there's a lot of sensitive people out there that don't embrace the fact that they are, but they know they do see things, and they do know earthbound spirits are around. They don't do anything about it. And, you know, as long as they don't get bothered by it, they're not going to do anything about it, or they'll live with it, you know. But, you know, these are possibly the same people that could attract entities as well. And so the phenomena, I haven't done a lot of, you know, I'm not a professor in demonology or anything like that, but I'm only explaining my experiences with it. And believe me, I, you know, have encountered many, maybe thousands of demons now over my time. And, you know, we'd even go on investigations and we'd have people come and visit with us to investigate. But really, do you know these people? You know, I wouldn't know them. Oh, this is so-and-so. He's from the other side of the city. He wants to see what we do, paranormal. He's interested in ghost hunting. You know, but in fact, he's there to dump a demon on you, you know. And, you know, this kind of thing does happen. I mean, you yourself are a medium, and do you really truly know your audience, you know? Well, you know, this is a sensitive person. Maybe if I go to her meetings, I'll dump this demon on me, off of me, and maybe it'll go on to somebody else. Hey, it's a chance. It's a, you know, and believe me, with people that have these, they're trying to get rid of them, and, you know, and maybe that'll work. You know, you never know. Or maybe they had one on them and casually went to your meeting or whatever, and your gallery reading or whatever, and, you know, and it jumps off them and goes on somebody else. All of this happens. They are out there, and it's a phenomenon that I don't know 100% of all the circumstances, but I can only tell you what's happened to me. And, you know, it is a tough situation with these demons.
Let me ask you, well, I got a quick question. when you had that, your blood pressure was very high and you went to the doctor. What did the doctors, I mean, you know what was going on, but what was the doctors thinking and what did they do? Did they start, you know, asking you a bunch of questions or wanting to have you run a bunch of tests about your heart? What happened on that?
Well, my blood pressure was so high that the doctor said to me, I don't know what to do here. I don't think I can let you leave the office. I think, you know, we're going to have to send you to the hospital to get your blood pressure lowered, you know, to find out, you know, I mean, right now you're taking enough blood pressure medicine to keep you stable, but you're taking enough of the medicine that it should control your blood pressure, but it's not. And so we want to know what's going on, if there's something else going on with you, you know. But, you know, I knew what the problem was. And, you know, somehow he told me, well, what we're going to do is we're going to send you home. And you just, you know, take it easy and see if your blood pressure comes down, and we'll have you back here in a few days. And we'll recheck it just to see if, you know, it was just something episodial, you know, a one-time deal. You ate something or something, you did something or whatever. So he let me go, and I went back a few days later, and they took my reading, and it was pretty near normal. So at that point, he was scratching his head and said, well, all right, you know, I had a blood pressure cuff at home, and they made me do a call-in service that monitored my blood pressure, and they did that for 2 months. And so I had to report back to them and give them the readings over the phone. So that's what I did. And it stayed pretty stable after that occasion, but, you know, I was continuously bailing myself out of spirits at that point until the time, you know, I was healed by the angels. So that's basically how I get out of that.
We're out of time, went a little bit over, but that's okay, Paul. Now, so we got to wrap things up. A website or Facebook page people can be directed to if they have questions or want to contact you?
Okay. My Facebook page is the main point of contact for me, and that would be Central Texas Paranormal. So that's where I mainly watch and look at anybody that writes me and wants to contact me. So and if you like what I do and give me a like on that page, that would be appreciated.
Awesome. Well, Paul, one thing for coming on Paranormal Horizons. You're one of our most regular guests, and you have a bunch of great that you're always sharing on the show with us. So thanks again for coming on Paranormal Horizons.
Thank you very much, Jason, and thank you, Sherry.
Thank you. Thank you for your time, and thank you for sharing your knowledge and your experiences. We appreciate you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Have a good night.
God bless.
Bye-bye. Yep.
Yay. That was pretty interesting.
It's you know, there's a hidden, invisible world out there that maybe that we don't all see.
I know, and I, you know, he has shown me some personal photos of his demonic confrontations, and I don't want to share that as something that is very, very graphic, and there is, like you said, another world that we're, you know, not aware of, or maybe we are, but we just need to keep our bodies and our minds and our spirits into the light, because we don't want to attract those dark things, do we, Jason?
Absolutely not. There's enough darkness in the physical world, let alone the spiritual world. So
exactly. And as a paranormal investigator yourself, Jason, you know what the you know what the risks are, and you know you've come out of it very well. So yes.
Yep. So I know you got us a great guest lined up for next week. What do we got going on?
Well, we're gonna have Mark Freeman. He's coming back. He's gonna talk about I don't know if it's a Wiccan or pagan, and excuse me for my ignorance, but he's going to talk about what the Halloween tradition is, the history and the customs of what Halloween is. And as a he practices Halloween, the customs, and we're going to be very informed of what that is. And I'm very excited to have him on the show. It's something that's going to be learned. It's not something that's evil. It's something that we can understand. That's part of Halloween, and at that time, the veil is going to get thinner and thinner for those that are sensitive to the other side. So I am just really excited to have him back and explain the history and his own rituals of how Halloween is practiced through the Wiccan and the pagan community.
Yeah, sounds like an exciting show, and a little bit of history is always good. Used to know, I think maybe we talked about it in a long time. I don't remember the history behind Halloween, other than I thought it was a pagan situation, but I'm not sure.
I don't either, so I'm sorry for this is all new to me, but it's great to learn. I'd be very happy to learn and be able to share that with others also.
Excellent. All right, well, unless you have anything else, we'll close the show.
We're done, and I'm glad that we're able to be on air, and thank you for our listeners and people that are supporting us and your participation.
Absolutely. Thank everybody at Paranormal Horizons, and we'll see everybody next week, Sunday, 8 p.m. West Coast time. We'll talk about the history of Halloween and what it all means. So we'll see everybody next week, and hope everybody has a great week. Good night, everyone.
All right. Take care. Thank you. Good night.